Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, we're giving you the best tips to get you through your breakup, from the sweatpants phase to easing back into the dating scene. We're sharing our expertise to help you come back from heartache even stronger. Thanks for listening. Since I began telling you all about the Womanizer, I've received countless messages from listeners telling me about how much they love this revolutionary product. I couldn't agree more. I love my Womanizer. We even made a short film about it, so you gotta check it out at sexwithemily.com. Unlike traditional vibrators, the Womanizer uses patented pleasure air technology to indirectly stimulate your clitoris with waves of air pressure and suction. It has a soft silicone cylinder that you place over your clitoris, just like your partner might use their mouth, if you're lucky. Its multiple settings make it easy to find the exact amount of pressure that's right for you. The sensation is so intense that many users found they can reach orgasm in 1 minute. That's a 60-second orgasm. Well, somehow, the Womanizer's engineers have found a way to improve upon the original model. The latest versions, the W500 Pro and Deluxe, are smaller and quieter than ever before. There are now 8 settings, it's amazing, and a new ergonomic design that will really help you find your sweet spot. So come on, no excuses, guys and girls. It's time to get your own Womanizer. You can see all the amazing Womanizer models at womanizershop.com or by clicking on the Womanizer banner on my website. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Okay, here's what you got to do. First thing, would love if you subscribe to the podcast. I know you listen all the time. We do 2 shows a week, but subscribing just really, really helps us. So that would be amazing. And while you're there, you can sign up for the newsletter. I know you all like the newsletters, and we send them to you. And you appreciate them because you all read them. Thank you. And follow us on social media. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. It's all at Sex with Emily. And we've got some great pictures up there, I have to say, on Instagram. There was a bikini shot. I'm here with Anderson.
Hey.
Anderson.
What's up, Em?
I'm so excited to see you. It's unnatural.
She was very excited. I pulled up to the parking lot and was walking down the long corridor to get to the lovely new Sex with Emily studios over here. And she rushed out to see me and immediately crouched down and hugged Stanley.
Well, I know. Is that weird?
I was very, very plan B, but that's fine. I'm fine. I wouldn't have even noticed it, but you brought attention to it.
Well, because I was like, is this weird? Do I hug Anderson first? But you brought Stanley and you didn't have
Stan
to.
Stan is way more huggable. And yeah, I don't blame you. I would hug Stanley before me every time too.
But you're pretty huggable.
Hey, it's good to see you.
You too.
It's been a long time. It's been 6 weeks?
6 weeks, which is like the longest we've ever gone.
You are the thing. And I can say this without any shred of dishonesty. All my years on Loveline, and it's gone now. I worked there 5 nights a week for 17 years, and I don't miss Loveline, which is odd. I thought I would. I do miss some of the people I work with. You, number one. I miss you more than I miss Drew.
That's really kind.
I miss you way more than I miss those guests.
The guests. They were kind of tapering out at the end. It was kind of like not great guests.
I would see the calendar and I'd see guests were coming on. I'm like, I dread that.
It's just annoying.
Working with celebrities just can suck sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was like high maintenance.
And then whenever they come with their people, it's like, what do you do with the people? Right. Would you like any coffee or water? It's just, I hated it.
And there was never anyone there to really totally help them with that. But so you don't miss that 17 years of your life. So what have you been doing?
I have been finally having the time to not only spend time with my wife, who is very pregnant now, which
How
is great.
How pregnant is she?
She is 6 months pregnant.
Wow. Actually,
tomorrow she'll be 26 weeks.
That's crazy.
And I've gotten over a fear because I had this really irrational fear. People have irrational fears, right?
Yes.
One of my biggest irrational fears, which came up a lot when I was up at camp. I do that camp for the oncology camp, the kids with cancer camp, uh-huh. every single summer. And we have pregnant ladies up there sometimes. We have pregnant, like, volunteer nurses, pregnant counselors. And I hated being around them in close quarters because I had this irrational fear that I was going to hit their stomach really hard by mistake.
Oh, like something would happen and they'd like lose the baby.
Because I'm like a big guy and I'm clumsy and I'm like a bull in a china shop. And I was terrified that I would like smack the stomachs. They protrude. It's hard to get around them sometimes.
They do.
And I'm happy to say that I've passed that fear. I'm over it.
Because you've like touched her stomach.
I'm around Jillian all the time and I'm not worried about smashing our baby.
I did not know you had this rash.
I think it's rare.
Do you know if you're having a girl or a boy yet?
It's a boy. Yeah.
Oh my God. This is exciting. A little Anderson.
It's going to be a small Anderson. Yes.
Will you bring the baby on the show and stuff?
That'd be weird.
With all the dildos
around and whatnot.
Dude, he wouldn't know. He'd just suck on them. It'd be fine though.
Oh, he
totally
would just suck
safe.
On them.
Mm-hmm. That's really crazy.
He starts crying. Put this in your mouth.
Well, it probably works that way. He's not going to swallow it.
If you had a kid, I would imagine that it would be dick pacifiers.
There would be
all
dick.
Day.
Do we have dick? No, that'd be inappropriate. What am I
saying?
And
then if that kid became gay, you would think that it was because of the dick pacifier.
Exactly. And then the people pull up photos, they throw me in
or
jail.
If it was a girl and she became a lesbian, you would think it was because she had a fear of penises because they were forced upon her early. That sounded wrong. I'm sorry.
That is wrong. I don't force penises upon anybody.
What are we talking about today?
God. Well, I have to say that we saved this topic for you because do you remember a few months ago we did a how to know when it's time to break up with your partner? Well, this is the show that we're doing today is how to get over
it. How to get over it.
Yeah. And you want to hear something really interesting I just remembered. So I was out the other night. I was at this cool new club called the Doheny Club.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. It's like an LA whatever.
Yeah, you were smacking the dab in the middle of Hollywood out here.
Right. And there was this guy that was really cute and he was talking to me for a while and I kind of have known him and I came out of the bathroom. I kind of lost him for a second. I ran into him. I was happy. I was like, oh, you know, he's cute.
Were you drinking?
I went to the bathroom. I had a few cocktails.
Uh-huh.
I go to the bathroom and I come out and he's talking to this girl.
Oh.
And I see him talking to this girl and she's hot. And
was so she hotter than you?
I don't think about that.
Yeah, you do. You're a woman.
I really don't.
Really?
I think no. I think
about that.
I don't. Well, because you're a dude. Oh, when there's a guy around.
When I'll like survey a room. I'm like, all right, who's got more allure than me? At least back in the day when I was in my, you know, in the game still.
Wait, you're so cute though. I guess I mean, yes, she was probably, I don't know. She was younger.
The answer is no. I'm sure she was not.
The answer is no. She was not hotter. But she was like, you could see and he was into her. I'm like, oh. So I walk past to get out of the bathroom like and trying to avoid because I don't want him to think I'm like stalking him. And all of a sudden he goes, hey. And then he goes, oh. And he turns to her and he says, before he introduced me, she goes, oh.
Oh.
And she freaks out. She goes,
that is powerful.
Oh my God. And she starts freaking out and she says, I'm a huge fan. I love your show. And I have to tell you that breakup show you did, I listened to it. And I decided to break up with my boyfriend and it was like the best thing I ever did.
Nice.
Thank you so much. And she was like fawning all over. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, like people know your show?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I guess so. But you know that doesn't happen.
And then you went home with her, right?
No, I went home with him. But that's
what?
The story.
Oh, look at that power move. You're like, whatever, fan, I'm going to take your man now.
Yeah, no, but it was funny. So I was like, oh my God, that never happens. And it was the breakup show you were on. She's like, thank you so much. I've been listening. It was very, very funny. Are you hot in here by chance?
Helping people break up is the best, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we talked about. Because it was like, I think that a lot of times, you guys should go back and listen to it. I don't remember what it was called. But you could go back and listen to that show because obviously it helps people. But there's a lot of times we just get stuck. And we talked about like setting a deadline. Are you, you know, like looking at it now, where do you want it to be? And we gave good advice for
and
that.
And it's
clearly.
Tough. It's tough to break up with people. So
it
I guess
really
that's what
tough.
You're going to be talking about today.
Exactly. That's
I can
what
tell you
about.
Too that I used to be an insane person and I had a really hard time. I'm a very sentimental person and I have a very, very hard time breaking up with people, making things end. Because I hate change and I hate the idea of saying goodbye to someone forever. And so I've had really, really tough time numerous times saying goodbye and finishing things. So usually it was done to me. I would wait till it was done to
me.
Well,
you're like most men, because that's what our studies show is that, you know, when it comes to divorces, 69% of women initiate divorces. 69. Uh-huh. That wasn't just for our show's purposes.
Are you sure?
I promise.
It wasn't 68 and you rounded up?
No, it was 69. We're going to get to that in a minute. But that you said I really want to talk about this. So
yes.
We'll get into that in a second. But first, we could do some sex in the news.
Sex in the news.
Yep.
It's been so long, Em.
Are you so excited?
I am.
I know you do 18 podcasts, but this...
Three.
Okay. It feels like 18. But this...
I actually have some fun stuff to plug, too. Considering the fact that I'm not
do
doing Loveline anymore,
yeah.
I have some fun stuff that I've actually... since
Would
I've
you
had
like
time.
To take a break before we get into this and tell us real quick?
I don't want to hold up the sex in the news for my stupid plugs, so let's go. Let's do sex in the news.
Okay, fine. We got to get back to it, though. Men don't care about condoms if she's hot enough.
Aye.
Yeah. I'd never go for bat for a man's in general intelligence when it comes to anything regarding sex and physical gratification. I'm still amazed by just how willingly dumb we all are the damn time, me included. Well, this is written by a man. Case in point, a new study says that researchers in Britain found that the primary motivation for men when it comes to wearing a condom is whether the girl they're with is hot, not whether or not she has an STD. Like, if she's hot, men don't wear a condom regardless of what risks are exposed to them. So they did a study, 51 heterosexual men between the ages of 19 and 61, and they said the more attractive a woman seemed to each participant, the lower their intention to use a condom during sex, even if the woman seemed to have a relatively higher risk of an STI. I don't know how they would know that, but so the higher the rating, they're more interested in having sex with her. So... But this goes against a study that we just found that asked 2,000 people from Europe and the U.S. They said that men's number one greatest fear was that their partner would have an STI. And number three was that there would be an unintended pregnancy. So men are just full of contradictions.
Yes.
But do you think that's true? Do you think it's more like, this is going so well and she's so hot and God, you know, is it? Do you think that these guys in their mind are going, well, if I have a baby, at least she'll be hot because this girl's hot? Or they're just like, I don't want to mess this up by putting the condom on because what if she has, what's going on in a man's
I don't
head?
Think the baby actually ever comes into the equation.
What is it?
These,
she's just
guys.
Hot and I don't want to stop because she might say no again?
Yeah, I think that if she's so, I think that, okay, if there's, this sounds so wrong, but if a guy is settling at the end of the night and he's going home with somebody who is not hot, or he's taking somebody home, or he's going to bed somebody who is below his standards, perhaps, he's thinking, all right, she's going to get the job done and I'm going to use her for sex and I should probably be protecting myself because she may have been used by other people as well.
Really? Have you had these thoughts?
No, I'm just from talking to guys over drinks. And then if it's actually happening and it's a really hot girl, maybe a girl above his number. Yeah, like what you said, I think that they're afraid of any kind of interruption. Might not, like, a lot of the time what's going through a guy's head is like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe we're going to a round second base right now. I can't believe this is happening. The last thing you want to do is have like the manager come to the mound.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah. To be like, this might stop. And what happens? Like, we're about to hit a home run.
There's no way to smoothly introduce a condom into the
entire...
You just
kind of reach over in your nightstand, open it up, and just do it. Like, that's what
guys
do.
Sure, really suave guys in movies can do it without interruption, but there's always an interruption.
It's the briefing. If you get really just practice, you just grab it. It's easy. I'm telling you guys, you're going to get it. Just because people who they deem as risky or non-risky, you don't know anything. I'm telling you, the people that you... I don't even know what that means.
All right, this is
risky. Someone could have one other sexual partner, and she could have an STD.
Well, of course, there's any countless number of possibilities. But this is for the ladies, because I think the guys will understand what I'm saying, and they know exactly that this is true. When you're in the heat of the moment, and if it's a woman who's very attractive, and like I said, she's above your number, the way your brain is working, it's like infused with drugs almost.
Right.
You're not thinking clearly, and chances are you've had a few drinks, but you're thinking, she's so hot, I could take one of her STIs. It would be okay.
No,
she's
you're
that
not that
hot. Like her herpes wouldn't be nearly as bad as her herpes.
You really?
That's at
really
the moment. And then the afterwards, I'm sure these guys are filled with shame. Like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah, they're calling the 24-hour clinic. Right.
Right, because she immediately drops off the cliff and becomes, if she's a 9, becomes a 4.5 right after sex.
Like any woman does after sex, or just the 9 drops
except for the wife, if you're madly in love,
not the wife, but
I'm talking about like, you know, casual encounters. Yeah, as soon as you're done, whoever you're having sex with, as soon as you're finished, they drop a number of points
just for that night, like because you're tired and you want to go to sleep.
Yeah,
in the morning, does she go back up?
Refractory period.
Is it the refractory period? She goes down and she goes back up again.
Yeah.
Or is it just the first time she's so hot and then you did it, you banged her and you're done?
Well, there's that too. But what I'm talking about, immediately finishing.
Yeah.
Soon as you're done, you didn't wear a condom and you're finishing outside of her, hopefully, or not trusting her if she says that she's on the pill. Heard that before. As soon as you're done, nothing's hot. All you want to do is be alone. It sucks. It's a man thing.
Is every guy? They are. They do. They really do. Right.
Unless you're with somebody that you actually have a relationship. And but for the most part, yeah, I mean, I would, I don't like to talk about these things, but
it's okay. It's past. You have a baby.
For the point of her feeling okay about, because I felt bad for, you know, one night stand.
You're so sensitive, right?
I would stick around, but it was the last thing I wanted to do. I did not want to be in that bed anymore. I did not want to be on that couch or on the ninth green, as it were, a few times on golf courses.
Because you know right away if it's a one night, you're like, I already know this is someone I don't want to get serious with. Or
yeah,
just
a lot of
if it's new.
Because you can tell, you know, it's a party girl and, you know, we're just having fun.
Right.
You're kind of annoying when you talk.
Exactly. Like, I liked it better when you weren't talking and my penis was inside you. God, it's so hard. Well, women do the same thing, I guess.
But I do think that there's something like a guy rationalizes and thinks, you know what? Her herpes kind of hot, maybe.
Oh, God. Not her herpes hot, is herpes. Once you have herpes, you just have herpes. You're not going, God, that herpes that I'm going to call Jane is so sexy. She was sexy. No, it's just friggin' herpes. And your balls are itching for the rest of your life.
Not all guys are going to agree with me, but a lot of guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And I know that for you ladies, that's insane.
It is kind of insane. I mean, I just feel like I would never, ever decide to use a condom whether or not I'd be someone safe or hot. And I usually do want to cuddle after sex.
Well, you go out with the condom already inserted inside, right?
Exactly.
Like, you're prepared. Right. You're ready.
He has one on and I already have one inserted inside. Exactly, of course, because I'm so friggin' safe. That's some good insight, Anderson. God, I missed your insight. I missed your face.
I feel like I say too much on this show.
No, you don't. Really?
I just don't want to get myself in trouble. You know
by who? No, dude, that's a real man. I'm not saying that. It's not like you're telling me anything I've not heard before.
Okay, good.
Just
you look at me like this is the first time I've ever heard this. You're an insane, sick person. Well,
do I really? No, I'm fascinated. Okay. I know because I know this in my brain, but when you say it, I'm like, oh, it's true. Not for every man.
Yes.
But for you, even the sensitive Anderson that you are.
Yes. Which makes it even worse because then I feel like such a shitbag for wanting to get out of that bed when it was over. You know what I mean?
Because you can tell maybe they wanted you to leave. Sometimes I want guys to leave. Yeah. I've had some experiences lately where I'm like starting and I'm just like.
You guys have the opposite thing though. It's like the oxytocin gets released and you like want a nest.
No, typically I do want to cuddle.
Yeah.
But I recently had a few sexual encounters where it wasn't intercourse per se, but I was like, I have to get, like I'm actually grossed out.
Right.
Yeah. Those are fun. Mm-hmm. Where like I'm with someone and I'm like,
I always like to be over at someone else's house too, so I could leave. Right? Because asking them to leave is the worst.
Yeah, you're like, oh, Uber's on the way.
That's I had a friend that he brought a woman home. She was much older and he brought her home to his friend's house. And then they had sex on the couch at his friend's house in the apartment. Then he got up and he went to work early the next morning and he left the girl there. And it was like 5 PM when his friend kept calling him saying, dude, you got to come get this woman off the couch.
She was still sleeping?
She was still there. She wanted to get off his couch. And they finally got her. She finally got up and left. And the reason why she was on the couch, she peed the couch.
She did.
She had peed on the couch. How horrifying for that poor woman.
That's so horrifying.
My friend really liked the older ladies. So she was kind of, she's probably in menopause.
How old?
Probably mid-50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for the thing. Imagine she was just laying there on the stranger's couch and she was embarrassed and terrified to get up because she knew that she had left a big pee puddle.
Oh my God. She could just leave a check for couch cleaning and get the hell out.
They're no longer my friends, but that's how they approached it.
That's just bad.
They started sending her text saying, you have to pay for this.
I think a 50-year-old woman would have a better plan than that.
She left her shoes there. I remember I went over there like it was like a month and a half after.
She walked home with pee on her and footless.
Her shoes were still there like out on the front step.
This is so sad. I'm so depressed. Oh my God. Oh geez. Always have a plan after sex. I don't know. It's interesting lately because being single, we're going to get into the breakup thing because we can talk about that since I have been going through a breakup. But okay, here's the point. Well, first, I think we have to do a little shout out to our sponsors who help keep the show free.
Yes, and then afterwards, I want to talk about a couple projects that I got going.
Now everyone's going to tune out. Thanks a lot, Anderson. No, we're going to tell you about breaking up. We've got your emails. Don't leave us. But this is important because you know what's great about sex toys, Anderson? They don't get jealous.
They do the work.
They just want you to feel good, even if it means they sit one out while you try something new. Well, I was recently introduced to that something new, the Rabbit Company Lay-On Vibrator. That's L-A-Y-O-N. And I'm here to tell you that it's a little palm-sized beauty, and it's awesome. Like, we got one here, and everyone wanted to try it. I think Madison tried it first, and she, like, freaked out and loved it. And then they just sent us, like, 6 of them. It's simply awesome. It's amazing. It was made for external use, features 2 ears, the little bunny ears that are perfectly positioned for clitoral stimulation. And the whole piece is gently curved to match a woman's natural contour. It literally lays on you. Get it? It's called a lay-on, as the name suggests. But its ergonomic shape feels so good to hold and move around. You'll find it the endless sensations by changing lay-on's positions. So it's got these 2 little things, these ears, and they feel so good because you put it over your labia, the whole thing. Jeez. Each of the ears has its own independent motor for amazing power. Whisper Quiet, which is great for, roommates and such, has 6 vibration patterns. My favorite feature, though, want to know what it is? It has built-in vibration isolation that keeps the motion in the ears, not the handle. Now, sometimes your hand can go a little numb by these things. It's just the ears. All the power in the ears. No more numb hands in the transfer of the vibrations. Like all Rabbit Company products, the Leon is 100% body-safe, features intuitive, easy-to-use controls, and a 5-year warranty, which they don't do with toys, Anderson. They just don't. Mm. To order your Leon, visit therabbitcompany.com or click the Rabbit Company banner on my website.
Couple things.
Go.
Since 6 weeks without Loveline, some of this language is a little bit jarring. I forgot because I'm out of the sex world now. Yeah, we were kind of going in that direction. And then also, I thought of something else.
What?
I got an idea.
Oh,
has there ever been a sex toy that actually speaks to the woman? You know, a GPS has the voice, and Siri's got the voice. Have they ever programmed a sex
like
toy?
A dirty talk sex
and
toy.
And it's just like, you're so beautiful. I love you so much.
There is.
You're prettier than all your friends.
You are the hottest one at the bar tonight, even though you're home with me.
I could see that working for some ladies. And you could like program the different voices.
You know, it's
have
funny.
One with an English accent.
That is a great idea.
Or all French.
Like, I love the French guys. Or well, there is. There's the...
There is one that talks?
Well, yeah. There's the Oh My Bod. When it first came out, you could play music through it. And I think you could also record audio through it that you could have
someone
talking.
So you'd have like your boyfriend do it?
Yeah.
That'd be very uncomfortable if three relationships later... they're using it in
they're like,
in
who's
bed.
That guy?
Yeah, and then some,
like, who's Bob?
Some dude's voice.
It's like, hey, baby, that was so hot last night. That's actually a good idea, like for women who like them. But I don't know. Uh-huh. Dirty talk, that's why we have porn.
Yes.
I guess. But why not? If you can't always access your porn, your vibrator can act as that thing. I love hearing dirty sounds. Dirty talk.
Yes.
Okay.
I know. Women do.
We're going to talk about how to cope post-breakup. But Anderson's got some really fascinating, exciting announcements.
First, there's three things that I hope to accomplish here today. Sorry if I'm plug happy, but it's rare that I have something actually
exciting. No, honey, go. I love that you're excited.
I'm working towards creating my feature, making my feature, and that's going to take some funding. And in funding, we're going to do this whole campaign, and we're leading up to it over the summer. And the name of the movie is Groupers, and it's very insightful and... now and all about society, and there's no way this movie that I wrote the script, there's no way I write the script without working on Loveline for all those years. I mean, it's definitely about sexuality, homosexuality, homophobia, as well as group mentality, mob mentality, all that kind of stuff. And I'm very excited. I'm actually working with Madison's very good friend.
Max.
Yeah, he's working with me on this.
I love
and
Max.
What I'm asking for is over at my website, AndersonCowan.com, C-O-W-A-N, or contact@AndersonCowan.com. Just send me your email if you'd like to be a part of the campaign. Not necessarily giving money, but just being abreast of things.
Just and know I know what's send. Going on, because Anderson makes killer film. He's won a bunch of awards last year.
All
for
five of
films.
My movies have now gotten to festivals.
That is so hard to
in
do.
In fact, my one about the Mormon going door to door and ending up at the massage parlor, that's playing right up the street from you in August. Yeah,
I love it.
But this one's, it's a work of passion. I've been working my entire life up to making a feature film, and I'm getting close. So if you'd like to be a part of it, just kind of be abreast as to what's happening, what's going on, AndersonCowan.com.
Done.
Send me
we
a link.
We can put this on the website as well.
Groupers is the name of the movie. And I'll just, I'm not a bot, and I'm not going to give it to other people.
No,
this
no,
is
no.
just
He's a good
very
guy.
Grassroots efforts, right. And I'm just collecting the emails so I can keep
Got
everyone
it.
In the circle. So Groupers, that's fun. That's exciting. More on that to come. After Disaster
podcast,
Mike Carano and I actually we do these things called Destination Disasters, where we make a video and we make them available for our Patreon subscribers. The one that we did most recently is the ICP disaster. Are you familiar with ICP? Insane Clown Posse?
No.
They're from your hood.
Yes,
they're from your hood. They're from Detroit.
Yes, I do. I am.
They're called Insane Clown Posse. They're two.
They're
dudes.
On Loveline.
They're
right.
great. I love them. I love them as characters. As they're my favorite guests ever to be on Loveline. Mike and I,
even though you hate guests,
their fans are called Juggalos. And they wear face makeup and whatnot.
And they juggle?
And they don't juggle, but they drink a lot, and they drink Faygo, and...
I love Faygo! They're from Michigan. Faygo
there's
Pop.
There's a lot of Faygo.
Have you had Faygo? It's like I grew
I had
up
it squirted all over me at the show. That's all they do. Probably
they do
300 2-liter bottles of Faygo get squirt on the audience.
I'm going to cry.
We shot the entire thing. We drove down there. It's an entire event. I cut the thing together. I spent a long time. I actually put my Cold Cockle logo in the beginning of the video because I spent so much time editing it. I think it turned out really well. It's 40 minutes. We dressed up like Juggalos. We did the face paint and everything. We infiltrated and we went into the show and we taped a ton of it.
Oh my God, I want to see
and
this.
And it got a little nuts at times. It got a little hairy and we got the whole thing documented.
Oh my God.
So it's a little like mini movie, like a 40-minute documentation
got
of
it?
The Insane Clown Posse. And that's available. That'll be on my website as well.
Okay,
Anderson we're Cowan. Selling it for $3
oh my God.
To support the After Disaster. Cool. Very fun.
I love it. That's amazing. Yes. You're doing great stuff since Loveline.
Yeah, I have a lot more time to actually, during that time when I was at Loveline, I'm using that to actually create and
edit. So you really are. You're getting up in the morning and are you going to bed earlier?
That's still a work in progress.
Now you're still drinking until, yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not drinking anymore right now anyways because I'm getting stuff done. I'm not in the creative process. Anyways.
I get it. I'm so proud of you. We'll put this all on the website too. I'm really proud of you. That's
amazing.
And
that live show that you went to, the Film Vault live show, that's available as well.
Film Vault. I was so proud of you that night. I was like, oh my God, Anderson.
It was so nice to have you there at the Chinese Theater.
I always show up. And I was like, wow, Anderson, this is a really good podcast. Like
we've been doing it for so long together.
You guys had really good energy. I love it.
Thank you very much for letting me to get that out there. Very important to me.
You guys, we're all doing podcasts. We're trying to make a living here, and we do good content that we really care about.
I got
to
send you a link. I should have had you watch the ICP
thing. Why didn't you? I would have watched it.
All right, next time.
Just like reading your script, which I will, but you told me not to. But
don't
read
the script because I'm reworking it.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's talk about breakups. Ready?
Breakups.
Facts about breakups. Who usually does dumping? I kind of did spoil. I already spoiled
69%.
This, but women are more likely to initiate divorce, but women and men are equally likely to end a non-marital relationship, which I don't believe. I still believe it's mostly the women that men can become complacent, but it is 69% compared to 31% of men end divorces. Women are more sensitive to relationship issues. This is why. They're already processing it. They're thinking about it. And I think that men are like, you know, it's okay. They're not really as in tune. I'm not saying all men, but women, we're always talking about it and we're processing it. And, you know, most common reasons cited for the uncoupling, lack of communication, and that might explain why the women do the dumping more often. They tend to value communication more than their male counterparts. And also, this won't surprise you, Anderson, that they experience breakups more difficultly.
Women do? Or men do?
Men do.
Men find it harder?
So talk to me about your experience with,
with breakups.
Yeah.
I've identified it as the worst feeling in the world to be rejected. It's the worst feeling. I don't think anyone can agree with that. There's no worse emotion that gets brought on other than by being rejected by someone, but whether it's a group or a friend or in most cases it's a relationship. And there's nothing worse knowing that the love of your life or somebody you think you're in love with would rather be with someone else or just not you, period.
Yeah, which is why many men don't even... A lot of men have struggled just with the confidence
very good
of asking someone out.
And relatives who are just emotional cowards and they decide they got their heart broken once, they decided never again, and they just don't date. Nothing. Just see like professionals. That's right. It.
Yeah. They do experience it differently. Like research shows that women experience more pain, both mental and physical, following a breakup. Though interesting for the breakups hit women the hardest, it was the men that had a harder time healing.
Because I think we don't put in the work.
Right. It's that men never fully recover.
Because
they just can't
we watch
on.
ESPN or go out and drink with
you
our friends and try
to get under to get over. You're sleeping with other women. And that men just don't fully recover well as we're like sitting home, you know, we're doing the
processing
Ben and Jerry's, we're processing, we're
talking
crying,
to your friends.
Can't imagine another penis inside our vagina, all that stuff.
Doing a lot of like, he sucks. All your friends are like backing you up. He sucks anyways. Yeah. You're way better than him.
Exactly.
I never liked his nose.
Right, exactly. You can do better. Remember that time he did this or that?
Which is always awkward when you get back together with him. And then your friends are like,
that's why you got to be careful.
Got to be real careful.
You can't say he's a total ass the first time they break up.
Right.
You can't be like, he was a jerk because people do get back together. I've done that
and
too.
And now I've done that a couple times and they're married now. I don't hang out with those people anymore.
Right, exactly. Because like Anderson never liked you anyway. So this is how men handle the breakups. Ready? They say they think, and tell me if this is right.
I just sent an email to somebody like 6 months ago.
What?
And I'm like, we were going back and forth for the first time in a long time. And I'm like, you ever since you broke up with that bitch, like a few years ago, you've never been better. And I was trying to be supportive and he just wrote me back. He's like, we're married now. And I just left it at that.
No response, Facebook, the whole thing.
Done.
See, you got to be careful.
Gotta
people
be
do get
careful.
Back together. Okay. So this is what guys do. Tell me if this resonates with you. I'll show her. They go out partying with the guys, you know, act like nothing is wrong. They're not affected by it. I know this is true. Like, they don't even tell their friends sometimes they broke up. Like, they just kind of, keep moving on.
Because
you know,
we think,
to
like,
mask their feelings.
What would get back at us the most? What could she do to us that would hurt us the most? And it would be sleep with another person or pretend like nothing, that it doesn't hurt us at all. Right, so we try and act like that, but that's not going to get back.
What if it was even an amicable break? What if it wasn't like a horrible breakup, but you just decided it wasn't? Like, what if you broke up with someone? Would you still do this behavior?
No.
No?
No, I wouldn't personally. No.
Okay. So this is also, which is so great, the research that they don't start to mourn the loss for a while. Like, you really start to delay it. They repress the feelings until they can't ignore them any longer. Mm-hmm. Like we said, because in my experience, if I look at my life. I've always said this, like the girls, and I was always more like a dude though.
I've always more like a girl, so this could work.
Exactly. I typically would get into another relationship, even though I didn't, you know, in my past. But women, you know, we face our, you know, emotions head on.
That's
cry,
why we die so much earlier than you guys, too.
Right, because you know what it is.
We don't
all process your emotions.
Yeah,
yeah,
we're not allowed
those to. Kill you. Those give you a heart attack if you don't process your emotions.
I know.
But you do. You know? Yeah. We're more likely to, like, straight talk, be honest about how we feel about it, you know? And also, we've got our friends. Like, women have our friends.
Yeah.
And we depend. And the thing is, we've got the emotional intimacy with our friends. We've got that. Men typically don't. Mm. And so you're thinking, wow, this has been fun partying and banging all these chicks, but now I don't have anyone like my ex-girlfriend who I could talk to when I was having a rough day, but we've got that.
Right.
And so women, we have like a network. We can go to our friends and guys are going, what the hell? Who do I talk to? And then, you know, they take longer to admit they're in pain, and then a few months go by and then they miss her and then they struggle and then they sometimes kind of want to come back. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
They struggle with starting over even more so than women. Men may be excited to date at first, but soon they realize that they don't have that intimacy with someone because it takes a while to build it. And the point is, everyone handles it differently. There's no right or wrong here. I'm not saying every man needs change, or a woman. But I am going to give you tips for post breakup.
Okay.
I've got 5 tips here.
I want to hear them. Okay. I'll let you know if they work. If they would
I don't know
work.
This is discussion.
And I'm going back to real quick. If I do the breaking up, which I've done in the past, not as often, probably about 31% of the time,
okay,
I do the breaking up.
Right.
I would actually go the other way, and which is not good for them either. But I would like almost want to make them feel okay and let them know that I was feeling sad and stuff because I'd feel bad. You know, I didn't want to victimize someone,
right,
but then that gives them think that there's hope for the relationship.
Right.
So it was terrible. I made so many horrible mistakes when I was younger.
Right. No,
so many
I did
stupid,
too.
Stupid
I absolutely did too.
Mistakes, and I caused so much pain, and I hate myself for it. Still.
Really? No, yeah. You got to let go of that.
I still, I know, but I still think about it.
But now you're in a really healthy relationship. So we go through the reason.
I almost did it to her. I mean, I know. It was very hurtful to her.
But I love that you guys came back around.
Yeah.
Like, I love that it could have ended, and you know.
Thank God.
Can I ask you a question though? Mm. How many times did you guys end it before you actually like did
only one time, and it was brutal, and I realized like just how awful it was. It was not very long. It was probably a couple weeks where we just didn't talk, and it was awful. It was really awful, and that's kind of what was the wake up call. Like, hey, she's really the one.
Yeah,
because I'd felt pain before, but not like that before.
Wow, and that's how you knew. Okay, so the first thing I suggest is a digital detox. No contact, cut off all social media, separate yourself from mutual friends if you can, set boundaries. You know, cut off all contact, say no to breakup sex. You know, you can masturbate, you know, you can take care of yourself that way. Don't have the breakup sex.
And that's tough with the digital cutoff these days. Real tough. So,
see, that's tough. I have to say, like, my suggestion is like, you block their number. You don't, you know, you're not friends with them on Facebook or Instagram. But it's hard. I mean, I went through this phase. So I've been going, I guess I've been broken up.
Broken up.
6 months.
Sounds good.
And,
right now, you're still going through that.
I still am, yeah. But I'm, you know,
digital detox?
Yeah, but not at first. No, not at first. Like, I was like, look, and I was like, it's so painful. It does work. So then, you know, maybe the first week or so, I was looking and I'm like, you know what? This isn't healthy. Like, why do I have to see who he's dating or who he's friends with? Like, I'm making up ideas in my head. Like, that's no way to move on. It's not healthy. I've got, you know, and once they're like really, truly out of sight, you can move on because back in the day, as you recall, you break up with someone, you never hear from them again. Like, you wouldn't see them. You wouldn't. Maybe you would run into them. Your friend would run into them.
We're talking about like back in the day, like, you know, when we had nothing but answering machines. We didn't have a caller ID.
No, we didn't have anything.
We might have had a pager. We're talking about those days.
Yeah, and your friends would come home and be like, guess who I ran into at the bar? Yeah. You're like, no way. Tell me everything.
Tell me about
it. I'd be like, what color socks was he wearing? Like, you want to know everything, right?
Did he ask about me?
Who was he with? All this stuff. So, you know, you can avoid places where you want to run into, you know, you might run into each other. Like, don't go to that place thinking you're going to find them and run into them. Because we're very vulnerable at this time. Things are tense. And anything that your ex has to say is going to affect you very, very deeply. So what do you think about the digital detox?
I think it's super tough, especially for people that are so tied in to the social media these days. I don't envy you at all because it would be even harder.
It is.
It was hard for me back in the day. And knowing that I could also create this whole false image of how I really was doing, there's that, which, you know, comes into the digital detox as well, where I'm putting things on Facebook hoping that she would see it.
Right.
I'm fine. And I'm
people
sure it happens
do that.
All the time.
Oh, all the time.
And there's this whole other layer, like almost a whole separate life, like an avatar that you have to worry about healing as well. So what you're saying is a lot easier said than done, but what you have to do is make a real commitment to yourself and maybe bring a couple of your friends in and say, don't let me.
I had a friend who held me accountable. She was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I know. She's like, you haven't blocked him. And then she said, just try it for 3 days. And this was the very beginning. And I like just stopped. And then I just forgot. And it really was so much easier because I wasn't looking or seeing.
And the social media stalking. I mean, that's you're probably going to do it for a few days, but then realize what you're doing and know that you're not a few months. You're bound to do it for at least a few days, but know that you're not going to be able to heal, move on, and find the next person that's going to be the better person for you without giving it up.
This is why you're doing it.
The longer you do it, the
the
less chance you have of actually being happy with somebody else one day. And we're not suggesting
that's torturing yourself looking at
being like a love addict and going straight to somebody else, but you're not going to be able to heal yourself or fix yourself as long as you're wallowing in that.
That's number two then. Take time to process. Go through those phases, like go through the sadness and the anger and the pain, you know. Many people want to like put a limit, like I should be over this by now. It should take a month. It should take 2 months.
I know some people like that.
I did that? Did I do that? Maybe
no,
I did.
No, you were involved in something like that though.
I was involved in saying that I should already be
moved. No, you were involved in something where like there was a 2 month period. And remember we talked about this in the parking lot?
Yes.
Yes.
And the, yes. And the came
How'd
back
that work out? Not so well.
No, what did I do? Wait, are you saying that I stayed?
You
somewhere?
Didn't do it. The other person did it.
They came back around.
They were going to cut Emily off for 2 months. Nothing Emily, right?
Yes, exactly. That's okay. And they did. And it was fine. And we didn't talk. We still haven't. So, okay. I don't want to make it about me per se. Yes. And they do because they will circle back. And we're going to think like, well, maybe things have changed and maybe things are different. But listen, no one's going to change in 2 months or a month. They're not going to be like, oh, you're going to miss each other. Because we tend to have this euphoric recall when we break up with someone where everything's great.
Yeah, idealize people.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, of course you miss them. Of course you loved them. You were together for a while. But that's why, again, no contact. And I say no contact for at least, if you can't do the digital detox, then do no contact for 6 months. I don't even know if I say that in here. But that's so important.
You know the whole idealizing people, especially when relationships gone by and looking back on it. So only thinking of the good stuff. Have you had any success in thinking only about the bad stuff? Have you been able to do that?
If the guy was I mean, I've dated.
If he gave you enough to hate.
If he gave me enough to hate and it was like something horrible breakup, yes.
Okay.
Typically, I have. Okay, we got to take the time to process. I think, you know, it takes about 3 months till you're really ready to like move on maybe. And that doesn't mean that you're getting over the breakup, but maybe you're ready to start just going out more and dating and you process things. I mean, you did like, you know, you might still be feeling pain, but everyone's different. Be patient, cry and sob. You can cob. So, you know, take the time, spend time to get in touch with you again. This is why it's so important is because we get lost in relationships sometimes and we have to remember who we are on our own.
Right.
Very helpful work. Make good choices. Don't do the like go out and toxic friends and go out and drinking and partying and sleeping with people. I mean, you might do that for a week or two, but really it's better to like start exercising, hang out with your friends that are like really good influences, you know, and again, just be kind to yourself, take time to heal, do activities with people that you like. And I think it's a great reset button.
Get a new routine. Just shake something up. Like start waking up an hour earlier than you did, or find a brand new like coffee house that you've never been to before, a new supermarket, get on a different kind of diet, change something kind of major in your life.
Right.
So that, but it's for the positive, because the one of the toughest breakups I ever had, I ended up getting a brand new job and a new car all at the same time and a new place to live. So everything was totally different. It was a lot easier to move on in a different direction.
Absolutely.
I don't, you don't have to be that drastic, but if you just change, like if you start waking up an hour early and doing yoga or something different that's going to shake up your whole life.
Like, and also, if you're having a hard time moving right now because you're like, oh, but I'm just like, it's, I find like every, for a lot of my changes, it helps to be accountable or to have a friend who's like, we're going to this new yoga class or we're going out tonight.
And just commit to it.
Yeah, commit. And I never regret. I always like, I don't feel like going out. And then when I go out, I'm always happy and I always meet people.
Worst thing you can do is lay with your own thoughts.
Exactly, dude. Even
you need to
it's
a little
dark
bit.
Room,
but yeah,
man. Can't get out alone. What's that saying? When you're in the room flailing around, I don't want to even know what
it's like. Jack Johnson lyrics?
No, it's a really good saying, but I'm not going to say it now. Okay, rebound sex. Okay, only if you can handle it. Like, if you can do it and stay unattached and you're like, I'm just going to have sex, I'm not going to get emotionally involved, but typically it's just a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. It's just something that you're going to, you know, it's going to make you feel good for a second and then afterwards it might make you feel worse. But if you're having like horrible sex in your relationship and you're like, I really just want to get laid, but I don't want to attach and you really can stick to that, only you know the answer to that.
And careful, because there's somebody else's feelings involved there too. You're not, you know, going out rebound sexing by
Except
yourself.
For the party girls that you kick out of your house at 3 a.m.
Should be an entire There should be a whole. Oh.
What? Another idea?
There should be
an app
for nothing but rebound sex. People Tinder. That are on both sides that need rebound sex.
There should be an app. There probably is.
Rebound
sex apps.
But people that, you know what I mean? Because like, I hate the idea of somebody going out and like, you know, banging just the whoever they can just to make themselves feel better. And then that person just gets left in the wind. That sucks.
But does that make you, I have to ask you, that's true. But does that, maybe they know though, and hopefully you're a mature enough adult that you can be like, listen, I'm not looking for anything serious. Although often people don't hear that message.
Right, right. For sure. Especially you ladies, you guys are deaf to that.
But how does rebound sex make you feel?
You know, the one benefit it has is it's a really a wake up call to like, wow, I just did that ultimately intimate thing with a different person. It's over. Like my other relationship, it's a real like slap in the face. It's like, this is real. This is happening because you're actually, you just had sex with a different person.
Right.
But other than that, no, I think it leaves you feeling empty. And like I said, I worry about the other person.
And sometimes, yeah, because you're so caring. I do too. And I also feel like it's, it's worked both ways, but sometimes I felt like it made me miss my ex more because I was having sex.
Because it's going to be different, yeah. It's always a weird thing when you first like touch. It's like their boobs are different and like their legs are different and they wear different, they smell different. It's
weird because your intimate was... Right.
It's jarring.
Right.
A lot of time I don't like it, but it is a good like wake up, smell the coffee. Your life needs to move on.
Right.
It's different.
Exactly. Okay. Are you ready to date again? That's the fifth step, okay? Take the time to be single. I don't think, again, I did this. I went from one relationship to the next, even though I would say, listen, I need time to heal, I need time to whatever. And then I'd meet someone and then I would get, it's so much easier to get caught up because when you're falling in love or lust with somebody, typically those feelings, you know, the feel good hormones can kind of numb your emotions. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, that's really sad, but here's a new guy that I can get really excited
about.
That's
how you get caught up being a love addict though.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I'm a love addict, but...
No, I don't think you are.
No, I am definitely not a love addict. So it's very tempting to hop from one to the next. But again, it's really great just to really get to know yourself as a single person and be settled on your own. And also something that I've noticed is that we tend to heal past relationships in our current. So let's say in your last relationship, you had horrible sex. Or your partner wasn't very attentive or didn't give you enough blowjobs or oral, whatever it is, or kiss. You meet someone who's like way into sex and they really love pleasing you. And so the pendulum swings, right? Because you think, well, my last partner didn't. But typically that's not what you need either just because it's one person is like the one. Usually there's one area that was really lacking. Mm-hmm. So just be mindful of this. And again, when you start dating again, you don't have to jump into a relationship. In fact, this is a great time to just date casually and a time of great self-improvement. You know, reconnect with old friends, made some new ones, and that will lead to meeting potential dates.
And I would think that to kind of break that possibility of a love cycle too, you should want to make it a goal that the next person you date, the relationship's going to be better. The person's going to be better all around.
Right.
Do it's like inventory. A job. Like you want to always go, if you get a new job, it should be a better job. If you get a new car, it should be a better car.
Exactly.
You should don't just settle and get in the first relationship that comes along. You should always be going better.
Right. Exactly. Better. What parallel moves you want to go. Right.
If you kind of hold off and make sure. And Emily,
what? Say it. Do it. Go.
It's been so long since I've talked about sex or anything or relationships with you. And I hope I'm not coming off as I'm by no means an expert. I'm just talking my own personal experiences. You're the expert here. I'm just going off of what I, you know, 17 years of Loveline and my own horrible and mistakes that I've made in my past.
No, dude, you're very helpful. You know, never says you're not helpful. In fact, people miss you.
I just don't want to come off like I'm a know-it-all because I never gone to school for this shit.
It's okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Anderson. All right. It's okay. You're great. You're doing great. And my last thing is that I just think when I say work on yourself, well, let me explain just real quickly what that means is, again, spending time to get to know yourself and also, you know, what you like, what you don't like, and really look at that relationship for what it was. And you can even do this. Like, these are the things that I require of my next partner. Like, they have to, you know, be sensitive or they have to be healthy like I'm healthy. You know, they remember my birthday. I mean, whatever it is, like, they like... You know, same religion, whatever the issues are, like, really?
Yikes.
Because if you have a list, it doesn't have to be a massive list, or you know, like, you're like, and you meet somebody who does not meet those bottom line requirements, like, it could be three things.
Right. At least a red flag.
Move on. Red flags. Pay attention. Okay, you want to move on to emails?
Sure. Wait, the one last thing that really, really helped me.
I was moving on. Yeah.
The one last thing, and I think I brought this up on your show before, is I would visualize my future wife, girlfriend, life partner, whoever I was going to end up with, I knew that she was walking the earth somewhere because I'm not a disgusting pig, and I knew that it wasn't like she wasn't born yet, right? So I knew that she was out there. She was living her life somewhere, and I imagined her looking at me being pathetic and being heartbroken about this person who ultimately is going to be a footnote in my life. So I would imagine my future faceless wife, girlfriend, looking at my present state and just going, what are you doing? And it gave me strength.
You've got really powerful visualizations.
I had to really work hard on it because I had so much pain in some of the past relationships. But that worked. That one really worked.
That worked. Did you ever go back to people? Get back together?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of times.
Even though you had those. No, that's a really smart way to think about it. There is more, but there's so many people on the planet. And here's the other thing that you always hear when people break up is that our biggest fear when we break up with someone is that we're not going to be loved, that they were the best thing that ever happened to us, and we'll never find someone else. Like
and that. Just that,
and
that
I gotta tell you
part
that
of your life is over.
Yeah. But typically we think, yes, that too. But I think we have a lot of fear that we will. And I'm telling you, I used to think that. I've dated a lot. You always will find someone. Like, yeah. You will. That is not your best person.
Unless you get hit by a bus.
Right. And then you die. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Right. That's hopeful. Okay. So, we can move on to some emails now. How about that? Thank you for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. And for including your name, where you're listening from, how you listen, and your age in your email. And we've got a new feature of the show, which you don't even know about yet. We're starting, Anderson.
What's that?
You can call and leave your question for me by voicemail. And if your message is selected, we'll play your question on the show. I'll answer it here. 818-ASK-SWE1. That's 818-275-7931. So keep your messages to about a minute. Don't include your last name or the names of anyone you're talking about. Do that.
818-ASK-SWE1.
SWE1.
Sex with Emily 1.
Exactly. And we're also going to be taking calls in here soon, too.
Cool.
Which I know you love the calls.
Calls.
Okay. Hi, Emily. I've been in a relationship for 2 months with my new girlfriend, age 23, who I, age 27, absolutely love. Although we haven't said it yet. I'm in a situation that seems to be rather unusual these days. As a guy, I seem to want to spend quite a bit more time with her than the other way around. Right now, we're seeing each other about twice a week, which does not seem much to me given the fact that we live in the same city. I don't think I qualify as an overly attached boyfriend. I'm quite confident in myself and have lots of other things going on in my life. I'm giving her lots of freedom to spend time with her friends, but I wish we could spend more quality time just the two of us. If we don't see each other, we text more or less daily, but I always start the conversation. And she just responds like with a smiley or a few words. This may lead you to believe that she's not that into me. I would not agree. Our relationship status was immediately made public to all of our friends. We spend time together. We see each other's friends. I've met her parents. And this summer we said we like seeing each other all the time. And this is her first serious relationship. I expressed my desire for more time with her once in passing along the lines of, hey, we live in the same city. What would you say about seeing each other more often, but nothing has changed? How do I approach this about wanting her to spend more time with me and develop better communication? Because 2 weeks, you know, just seeing each other twice a week doesn't seem like a lot of time. I want your opinion. Greetings from Frankfurt. I love your show, Marcus.
Frankfurt.
Yep. I think she's waiting for him to take the initiative. So he's thinking, I said to her, I want to see you more and nothing's happening. I think he's got to just like, don't be like, we need to see each other more.
Yeah.
Because that can be annoying. But make a plan.
Frankfurt, like, Germany?
Yeah. Wow. How about that?
Yeah, it's cool.
I love it. I love it too. We got friends and fans all over. I mean, I don't think that she's going to be thinking, I've never been in a relationship, but I should carve out time. You have, and just ask her for it. I don't think she's... When I first started reading it, until he said, this might sound like she's not that into me, I thought maybe she's not that into him.
But the fact that they both went public to all
the relationship status, I still don't do that. So, you know, I think just make a plan with her that he's way overthinking it. What do you think?
I feel like there's a missing piece to this. Like, what's she doing with her life? Is she like really career driven?
He said she's busy. He said she's got plans. She's got friends. You know, she's got a lot going on.
How long has this been going on for?
So, I don't know.
A little refreshing.
6 months.
6 months? Yeah, she's young. She might be.
2 months.
2 months?
He might be being...
It's a little early, guy.
Yeah, you're being a little pushy. I think, Marcus, I think you are overthinking it. You've changed your relationship status. You've met each other's parents. And I'd say don't have a talk. Just ask her what she's doing. If you know you're seeing each other on Tuesday and Thursday, say, what are you doing Saturday? See how that goes.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I can only do two days a week.
I hate to say it, but there might be another dude or two, right? That she might be like kind of seeing, like testing the waters. It sounds like she might.
But they declared their relationship
status.
How so
though? Like
I'm thinking Facebook. Mm. Where else do people declare their relationship status these
days? She's not a weekend time. If there's no weekends available to him and that's for her friends, that's not a relationship. I have to agree with him.
You think 2 times a week, they've been dating for 2 months, is not a relationship?
If they live real close proximity.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think when you start seeing someone and you, yeah, and it's 3 times a week. I agree. But you think, how would you approach it though without pushing her away, which you might already be doing?
Yeah, it's tough.
Just tell her, I want to see you. Like, let's hang out all weekend. How about you stay at my place? Something like that. See what she says.
Yeah.
If she keeps saying no to that additional day or days you want to hang out, then you can talk about the fact that in a relationship, you'd like to see her more.
She might be a lesbian.
Thinking the worst
she
things.
Could be.
Well, I Tuesdays, think it's time Thursdays? To figure it out. Okay. Hey, Emily, I'm 28-year-old woman. This will get you back on the Loveline track. I'm a 28-year-old woman from New York. I listen to your show on iTunes and I absolutely love it. I greatly appreciate your advice and the fun twist you bring to conversations about sex. I've been having sex for a decade. I've had a good number of partners in all sizes. I have never had a vaginal orgasm, though. Because of your show, I decided to find my G-spot on my own. With a dildo and some lube, I've been able to locate the spot. I think I get the I have to pee sensation, per your advice. I kept going when I felt the need to pee, and eventually a lot of liquid came out of me 3 times. I say liquid. It didn't look or smell like urine. I also felt all the other orgasm symptoms. My legs were shaking. My heart was beating really fast. And I even shed a tear or two.
Wow.
It felt good, but not overwhelming. Was I squirting? Can one squirt without having an orgasm? And if I did have an orgasm, how come it didn't feel as amazing as my clitoral orgasms or better? Thanks for all you do, Michelle.
Let me ask you before we go down the rabbit hole. Do you think that she had an orgasm?
You know, it sounds like she did.
Because my rule has always been, I kind of like going multiple choice. I can never say any. Like if one of the choices is D, any, never mark that.
Okay.
If my rule with orgasms with the ladies, if they think or they're not sure, then it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean,
if there's any kind of question.
But she's never had one before, so. But the thing is, she doesn't feel as good, so she could have just. I don't know. You're right. I mean, I tend to agree. It's kind of like you can't be kind of pregnant. You can't kind of have an orgasm. Right. It's like, but I think that she's still got to keep working on it. So I think, first of all, you can squirt without having an orgasm. Hmm. So maybe it was your body squirting that was the reaction. You might be overthinking this too, like comparing them in your head and like the clitoral one felt like this. She could go for a blended too, because a blended orgasm is when you have the clitoral and then a G-spot. And I don't know if you tried to have a clitoral first, but that always helps the G-spot orgasm.
Which one's
along.
Better, G-spot or clitoral?
You know, it's like choosing
no
between my children.
G-spot, is there?
It's like choosing between two children. Uh-huh. Which dog do you love better?
It's Emily's choice.
Yeah.
You should make a porn about that. You have to choose, give up one. That'd be offensive.
I can't. You know, people think that the G-spot is the holy grail. Mm. What'd you just say? Say that again. I could choose one.
Well, it's like Sophie's choice.
Sophie's choice. I must choose between orgasms. You don't have to choose. There's different types of orgasms feel different for different women. So I think, you know, your body might not be used to it. It might have been like a kind of a G-spot-ish orgasm. So go for the clitoral first, then go for the G-spot. And, you know, once you start having them, they'll start to grow and become more comfortable. And you might want to switch up your toy choices. Some women prefer to use G-spot toys that vibrate because the vibrations or movements make their orgasms more powerful. Some like ones that like are just like dildos that without vibrations. So you could play with that. I love the Rabbit Company vibrators because guess what? Most of them are all like G-spot toys because they're like rabbits. There's like the Come Hither Rabbit, which is good for like G-spot beginners. There's the Beaded Rabbit and the metal beads go around your G-spot. Check out the Rabbit Company. It's cool. It's on my website. So I think that you're well on your way. Can I just tell you, Michelle? I love that you're really trying. Like, this is what I always tell women. I had to try. My G-spot orgasm did not just come from some penis in my vagina one day, and I've been having sex for a decade.
Or two.
I had to freaking like spend my time with like, you know, in my room figuring it out. And now that I did, you know, I know that I have them. So Michelle, just keep on keeping on. Yeah.
Keep on keeping on.
Is that like a trucker thing to say? I think. It is. So that's what we have time for here, Anderson. I don't even have time to plug anything because you plug. No, I'm kidding. I have nothing to plug.
I didn't even plug the one thing that I really wanted to plug, which is Cinematics. Which is that show? It's my other shows are very healthy, but Cinematics is we just did week 26, so I've only been doing it for 6 months, But I put a lot of work into this show, and it's where we talk about the movies that are coming out this
Friday.
Which
I love. Okay.
So this one that we did this week, we did Swiss Army Man, which you probably never heard of Swiss Army Man. Yeah, Madison has. She's hip. It's got Harry Potter. He plays a corpse.
Oh, yeah. Harry Potter. I've heard of him.
And Paul Dano. But the one that we really liked, we uncovered like little smaller films that people don't see. Life Animated. It's a movie about an autistic adult who actually found a connection with the world through Disney cartoons.
Okay. They can find all this on your web.
Great.
I love it. Cinematics. It's all on Cinematics, and it's on Anderson Cowan. I'm assuming all this is
there. Anderson Cowan. Yeah, anything that I do, Anderson
Cowan.
Okay,
and everything I can do, you can find at sexwithemily.com. And I just got it. You know, I've been meeting a lot more listeners out in the world, and we've been getting so many great
feedback
emails.
Stealing their boyfriends from clubs.
It was funny. It wasn't a boyfriend. Clearly, he liked me. But the deal is that
clearly,
I'm really into. I love my Snapchat. You can do it. Follow me there and Instagram and all that. And we put up like last week. Menace mentioned that I had a bikini photo on Instagram, and a lot of people went back on to look at it and then mentioned that they heard it on the show. So this week I've got something else up there that's particularly sexy.
So
check it out. Whatever I can do. No, but also I just love you all. Thank you for listening, and thank you Madison, Lori, and Jamie, and thank you Anderson. Great to see you.
Thanks for letting me plug. I'm bad at it.
You're awesome. So thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, guys. Are you looking for a way to mix up your masturbation routine? Well, let me tell you about the number one sex toy for men, and really, the only one you want. The Fleshlight. It's a masturbation sleeve that you use solo or with a partner that simulates the sensations of real sex and was engineered to look and feel like the real deal. There's a Fleshlight for every man's needs. And now there's a new addition to the Fleshlight family, the Quick Shot. It's an open-ended male masturbator, has the patented super skin material, but the Quick Shot is smaller, easier to handle, and requires way less cleanup. It can be used solo or with a partner to take handjobs and blowjobs to the next level. I think that for every woman who has a sex toy, every man should have one of these. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, and use code EMILY to get a free bottle of their award-winning Flesh Lube. Check it out. You'll thank me.